Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. While you're turning your Bibles, we want to make all of you welcome that are with us today. If you're with us for the first time, why, you're just certainly welcome. After the services today, we'll have a baptismal service and dinner on the grounds, and you're welcome to stay for both. Whether you knew about it beforehand or not, why, there'll always be plenty. We have plenty of food, and you just stay around for the fellowship and enjoy the food. We'd ask you to sign up back at the guest register at the back, and if you put your address down there, why, someone would like to come by and visit you and just to share with you, maybe answer some questions for you, and share with you the blessings of the Lord. So if you have never signed up, why, if you sign at the guest register at the back, why, we'd just be happy for you to. Now then, we're going to have a missionary conference December the 4th through the 11th. I want you to be praying for the missionary conference. And if you'd like to feed the missionaries a noon meal, whoever happens to be on that day, and I cannot guarantee who will be with us on a given day. And sometimes they may come in early, they may not, and they may leave. So I don't know how it'll be on any given day, but if you'd sign up, why, there's a place to sign. And if your home would be open to take care of some missionary over the night, why, then you sign up also on a bulletin board, and we'll have a place there, and I'll have to just sort of direct it as we go along. Any other announcements that need to be made? Okay, reading at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and then Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless your word today. We pray, dear Lord, that the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit might be sensed. We know that you're here, but Lord, that we might sense you're here. Oh God, we pray that if there be a lost soul listening to our voice, that soul might come to know Jesus before it's everlastingly too late. Amen. Lord, we pray for believers. We pray that every single one of us might take up the business of believers. Pray.
Amen.
God, that you'd help us this day. Give us freedom and power. Lord, may the Holy Spirit have his way in lives that are here today. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever thought about prayer? Very much about it. It's important business. I can't think of anything more important around than praying. If you're going to do any witnessing, you're going to have to do some praying in order for your witnessing to count for anything at all. If you're going to do any preaching, you're going to have to do some praying, or your preaching's not going to count for much at all. If you're going to raise a family, you're going to need to bathe those children in prayer. You're going to need to bathe that husband in prayer. You're going to need to bathe that wife in prayer time and time and time again. If you have any interest in the Bible and you study it at all and you understand the different doctrines that are in the Word of God and the importance of different doctrines in the Word of God, then you'd understand that prayer has to be one of the most important doctrines anywhere found in the Word of God. If you were to count the scriptures that deal with prayer and the scriptures that deal with the salvation of the soul and the scriptures that deal with any other subject that you want to make, I think you'd find that prayer has to be majored as the number one doctrine in the Word of God. God is known and has been known throughout history as a God that answers prayer. A God that answers prayer. Here on a Sunday night, I guess it was last Sunday night or so, Brett got up and gave a testimony. And in his testifying, he said, I'm not a prayer warrior. And then that struck me. It just really struck me. And I got up and I rebuked him and rebuked me and everybody that was here.
Amen.
Sometimes we give the right message in the wrong spirit. Sometimes we do our best to do the thing right, and it turns out crude or coarse or a bad job. So I don't know how good a job I did Sunday night. But anyway, some of the things I look back over, and you're critical. You have roast preacher quite often, I'm sure, but you don't have it near as often as I do. I'll guarantee that. Right, Brother Taylor? I'll guarantee that. But as I thought, the thought stuck. Prayer warrior? Are you a prayer warrior? Most of you'd have to say no. Why not? Why not? Prayer warrior? Why aren't you a prayer warrior? Have you ever thought about what prayer can do? Have you thought about the challenges that lay before you? And that in the future will lie before you? Prayer warrior, why not? Have you ever been a warrior? You know, there's something I thought about being a prayer warrior. So many times missionaries will ask people to just pray. Many times preachers will ask people to just pray. I've thought in my mind a few times in my life, well, you know, a person could be a prayer warrior, a soldier for Jesus, just pray. But that's not true. That's not true. You can't be a soldier only in prayer. But I'll guarantee you, a soldier, prayer is going to be one of your biggest weapons.
Amen. Amen.
But you can't be just a prayer warrior. I think we said terminology, we said phrases, it's like people rededicating their lives. I don't like the term. I sometimes use it out of past experience and habit. I like confession of sin. I mean, we sort of gloss it over, you know. I was taking my mother to lunch on a week or two ago, and as we walked into Luby's cafeteria, why, there was a trash can hanging on the wall. It didn't say trash. It said push for ecology. Now, you think about that for a minute. They didn't put trash up there, throw your trash here. They said push for ecology. Is anybody in here a janitor? Well, you're going to be called an engineer. Isn't that right? I mean, how about ecology engineer for the school? Huh? It's true. There's not a thing wrong with being a janitor. There's not a thing wrong with calling something a trash basket. I like it. Call it what it is. You know? And the same way, whenever I begin to think about the terms we put up, I don't like the term rededicate your life to the Lord. If you've got to rededicate your life to the Lord, it means you need to repent of sin. Amen?
Amen.
Let's call it what it is. You know, there's all of us, sometimes we don't like the term, but prayer warrior has been a term among good fundamental Christians. And as I begin to think about that term, is it sort of stuck in my mind all week long. I've encouraged people to be prayer warriors for years. I wanted to be a prayer warrior and tried to be a prayer warrior for years. And yet I tell you, my friend, you can't be a prayer warrior alone. If you're ever going to be a prayer warrior, it's because you're already a soldier and you're willing to do more than pray. Because you can't just pray. There is more to serving Jesus than just praying. But, oh, my friend, how important prayer is. I don't know the thing that you could do to increase your faith or to be a blessing to others than to, by faith, get into the work of God and begin to pray. Amen, Brother Kincaid. That's a good one, whether you believe it or not. Amen. If I don't get a pat on the back from you, I'll pat myself. Mr. Humility. That's what they call me. Huh? Jesus said men ought always pray. Men ought always to pray. Now I'm going to ask you something. If Jesus said men ought always to pray, did he mean you? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He didn't leave anybody out. Men ought always. Did he mean today? Yes, he meant today. How about last week? Did he mean last week? Yes, he meant last week. Men ought always to pray. And men are always doing, but men ought to always pray. Men are always doing, but they're not always praying. And yet, one of the very commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, the best advice He could ever give, the help to the people in need, the help to the people in problem, is that men ought always to pray. Everybody ought to pray. Everybody ought to pray. Let me tell you something. I believe everybody ought to make prayer their business. Now, how do you pray? How do you pray? Oh, I tell you what, we pray when we get in trouble. You ever heard of foxhole conversions? Sure. There are a lot of atheists, agnostics, that called on God when the bombs were blowing up around them. Some of them, when they got out of the foxhole, got out of the army, went back to bragging about their agnosticism. But oh, when they got close to death and eternity, they began to call upon God. Foxhole conversions. But me, a person that was an agnostic and got in a foxhole, got right with God and made it for all the rest of his life and for all eternity. Yes, men pray when they get into trouble. They pray when things come their way. They don't really like and don't want to happen to them. So many times I'll go out and talk to people and invite them to come to the house of the Lord and I'll talk to them about reading their Bible and about how to build a spiritual house. And they don't pay any attention. They don't care. They're not worried. They're smarter than God. And then in a year or two or a few months, they'll call me up and say, "Brother Ken, can you come help me? I'm in a heap of trouble. I need your help. Would you help me with my children? Would you help me with my family? My family's falling apart." I'm not talking about necessarily any one of you in here, but I'm telling you that in this last year, in this last week, I've seen people that called on me and said, "Oh, help me. Help me. What can I do? Help me." We went to them and we prayed. And God answered prayer and things were changed. And then they forgot God. Ignored God. Talked to one fellow that God had answered his prayer. "When are you going to be busy?" "I'm going to come to church." "What's my way?" "I'm too busy making plans." "Too busy making plans." Proud to be your business. And if pride isn't your business, you're in the wrong business. Amen?
Amen.
Proud to be your business. You've got children. You've got a home. You're going to get married. You've got a business to do. You've got all sorts of things going on. Prayer ought to be the business of your life. But if it's not, your business will go broke. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about the real business of living. You just can't escape it, friend. Jesus said men ought always to pray. Oh, I tell you what. How it ought to be our business. It ought to be my business every day to pray for you. It ought to be your business every day to pray for me. It ought to be our business to pray for each other.
Amen.
Every child I had but Eddie was prayed for from the moment I knew it was conceived. I'm praying about the wives and the husbands of my children and grandchildren right now. I prayed for my daughter-in-laws. I prayed for them years before I ever met either one. I didn't know what they looked like. I didn't know who they'd be. But I didn't want my children to have disasters for marriages. I still don't want them to. That little grandbaby back in there, I don't want him to be a disaster. I don't want his home to be torn apart. I don't want him to live in misery. I don't want the pain of sin to come into his life and to damage and to harm. I'll tell you what, mothers and daddies, you better get on your knees and pray.
Amen.
You better make prayer the business of your life. Everything else seems to be the business. I've got a house to take care of, too. And I've worked most of the years at two jobs making a living for my family while I preach. I took off from my job to go fishing, not from my preaching. So I don't believe anybody can throw it up in my face about, well, you're a preacher, you can go fishing, you want to. I can't. Praise the Lord. There'll be some advantages of it, ain't it? That'll be one or two. But I tell you what, prayer ought to be your business. Too many of you got your business and everything else. Your business is to make money. Your business is to fix up your house. Your business is to prepare your marriage. Your business is to do everything under the sun, but you don't ever have time for prayer. Your business is to make straight A's in school. Your business is to graduate the head of your class. Your business is to establish yourself in a firm, but you don't have time for prayer. So many times people go to the mission field. Their business is to win souls for Jesus, but they don't have time for prayer. Preachers want to preach. I'll tell you what. There's a little bit of glory to standing up in front of 50 to 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 people. There's a little bit of glory to that. But most of what a preacher does doesn't have much glory to it. It's sort of like out on the football field. Boy, that looks great, doesn't it? Boy, they get out there and, boy, look at all the glory. You think about all the sweat. What have they been doing all week long? Well, they've been running, man. They've been working. They've worked hard to get where they are. Some of them worked all the hard just to sit on the bench behind somebody that was ahead of them. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't care what your business is, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's selling cattle or repairing airplanes or automobiles, whether it's being a housewife and keeping the neatest house in town, I'd rather every part of your business went broke rather than you deny yourself prayer. This is a generation that does everything by money. The church is being built by money today. Business-like methods by businessmen that leave God out except for an opening prayer and a closing prayer. All the other decisions are made on profit and income, best returns, and all other things like that. Prayer ought to be your business. It ought to be the number one business that ever first been in this room today. Is it? I'll guarantee it's not. I'll guarantee it's not. It ought to be. When's the last time you read some of the most beautiful promises God ever gave His Word? I told you, this book's full of promises. It's my promise book. Someone asked me, said, do you have a promise book? Yeah, I do. Well, you're a boy. You're not supposed to have a promise book. I'm a boy, but I got a promise book. Look what it is right here. That's my promise book. Every promise of God's mine in there. And all of them are yes in Jesus Christ, and they're all mine. I've got a promise book. When's the last time you read some of the promises God gave to you? I want to read you just a few on prayer. You turn with me, if you will, and you listen to some of these promises in God's promise book about prayer. In the book of Job, and some of you are not really familiar with the Bible, that's before the Psalms. It's about page 570 in my Bible. Job chapter 22 and verse 27. What does God say about prayer? Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him. He shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vow. God's the God that answers prayer. Do you know that? Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee. You may not see Him. You may not recognize Him in the room with you. You may feel absolutely miserable before you pray, while you're praying, and when you get through praying. But that doesn't mean God didn't hear. Now, a lot of people live on feeling today rather than faith. But I'll tell you, the Bible doesn't tell you to live on feeling. It tells you to live on faith. If you have enough faith, sooner or later you'll get a feeling. You don't have to anticipate it. God is in the business of answering prayer. One of the greatest joys God gets is answering prayer. Thou shalt pray unto Him, and He shall hear thee. My Bible says. Look, if you will, at Psalms chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him. How about that for a testimony? David said, the Lord hath set me apart for Him. That's something? The Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. Are you godly? I hope so.
By the grace of God, God's Spirit has come into my heart, and I hope in the hearts of everyone here. And if not, He can today. And if so, my friend, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, you're no longer in the flesh, you're in the Spirit of God, and you belong to God Almighty. You've been bought with a price. And what He wants to do for you is to set you apart for Himself. And David said, He'll hear me when I call. Oh, you talk about a promise. When I was a little boy, I lived next door to two good friends of mine, Jimmy and Charlie McCutcheon. Charlie and I were 13 days difference between us. Jimmy was 2 years older than me and Charlie. Oh, we were rough, just rough as could be. And they were rougher than I was because I grew up with two girls. You know, an older sister 7 years older, a cousin about the same age, and I didn't have little boys to play with. We moved to San Antonio, and we moved right next door to Jimmy and Charlie McCutcheon, and they had all boy cousins here, toughest kids on the south side. I mean, I'd come in, old Charlie could just whip me all around. Oh, he'd whip me. He'd bloody my nose and rock me good, and I'd run into Mama just crying. Oh, I'm crying. And, of course, you know how mamas are. They just love you. But my daddy, he got tired of that. And there was one fellow I feared. I feared my daddy. And I came in there, I don't know how many, the umpteenth time that Charlie whipped the daylights out of me, probably the first month or two or three that I'd been in that neighborhood. And my daddy said, son, the next time you come to me crying, I'm going to whip you. And I was more afraid of my daddy than I was of Charlie. And I went outside that day and whipped Charlie, and Charlie never whipped me again. As long as I live, Charlie McCutcheon never whipped me again. But Charlie and Jimmy did. Oh. And you know, blood is thicker than water and friendship. And so when I'd start whipping on Charlie, he'd holler for Jimmy. And I couldn't handle Jimmy by himself, much less Charlie and Jimmy together. And I took many a licking in my early life. I learned how to lose early. And it against good odds. I also learned how to fight. But oh, how I longed for a big brother to come when I called. Oh, I did. And I had a big sister. Man, she didn't fight. She wouldn't come out there and fight. Oh, big sisters are nice for some things, but they're not good in the fight. You know what I mean? Oh, listen to me. I've got a big brother, and I've had one for 20 years. And you know what it says? His name's God. And it says He'll come when I call. He's going to hear. He's going to hear. You know what I've done for 20 years? Every time I've gotten in trouble, yes, I've called. Every time I've gotten in trouble, I've called. One of the promises that God's given me here is that He'll hear me when I have a need. I remember as a GI in Roswell, New Mexico, before I was saved and just as I was about to get saved, how did I thought about one thought in my mind? I didn't fear death so much as I feared hell. I said to myself, I told a fisherman last week, I sat out there and I thought, if there is a heaven and if there is a hell, and they're really real, and you miss heaven, Lendell Kincaid, you're the biggest fool who ever lived. Because you've heard the truth. And I sat out on the steps of a trailer house and I rode in an automobile and I looked out at those heavens and I said, is there a God? And if there is there a heaven and is there a hell? And I came to the conclusion, there is a God. I don't know anybody can look at the heavens and come to any other conclusion. There is a God. When I came to the conclusion that there is a heaven and there is a hell and that Jesus Christ makes the difference. And I'd heard all of my life. Out of the preaching that I'd heard, much of it was not what I would consider doctrinally straight today on rightly dividing the Word. But I tell you what they did tell me. You know what's told on television program after television program? You know what's told even in modernistic churches today? In many good fundamental churches who do not understand something. You know what's told? That God hears and answers prayer. That He hears you call.
the trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico. I got on my knees and I said, God, I've heard this about you. I've heard that if I got sincere and serious and called, you'd hear.
And by the grace of God,
He did.
Amen.
I stand here saved 20 years. My family's saved. By God's wonderful grace, they've been blessed. Because He heard me when I called. And I tell you today, He'll hear me when I call. He'll hear me when I call. Some of you have been around this place about 3 or 4 years and you've seen some answers to prayer.
Amen.
God answers prayer. He set apart him that is godly for himself. And he'll hear me when I call, the Bible says. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 6. Oh, you talk about some promises. You ought to live in these every day. Oh, Christian friend, why do you walk in the dumps? And why do you spend your time in worry? And why is it that you do everything on your own? And why is it you labor and fuss and sweat? And leave God out. And God wants you to pray. Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That's my testimony. Is it yours? Oh, there's some of you sitting here this morning. Trouble, trouble was all around you. Trouble was swelling up over your head. You had no place to turn, but you called on God and God heard and answered. I know this testimony is like that. They've been mine. I've seen the time when I didn't know where anything was coming from. I didn't know how I was going to make it another day. I just didn't see an answer. I saw no way out. But this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. Saved him out of all of his trouble. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Where'd you ever get a better promise than that? God's ears are open. I couldn't get to see the governor. I'd have a hard time seeing the mayor. Sometimes it's awful hard to get to the boss of any corporation or business that you may be dealing with. Sometimes it's awful hard to get past the red tape. Try to go into a consulate somewhere and try to deal with a head man. I tell you what, it's awful hard to get through the red tape and awful hard to get through the secretary and awful hard to get through all of the underlings that are around that hinder you from doing that which you need to do. But I tell you what, you can get in to see God any day. You can get in to see God. He's always got time for you. I'll tell you what he said right here. He said his ears are open. His ears are open. What's wrong with your mouth? Nothing. Not a thing. All it needs to do is be used. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth. Where'd you ever get a better promise than that? You in any trouble? You had any problems? Listen to the man who lived in trouble. Listen to the man attacked by the devil. Listen to a man who built the greatest kingdom. Listen to a man who is a, by the flesh, father of the Lord Jesus Christ, David. And he said, the Lord hears. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You talk about a beautiful promise, my friend. You in any trouble today? Your home in a mess? Your children rebellious? Your life not what it ought to be? You don't have what you ought to have. Maybe you better get on your knees and start praying. I tell you the truth. If I were in the problem some of the people I know of today, close personal friends of mine are in, I'd be on my knees. I don't know whether I'd be in front of anybody. I'm not to hear me or not, but I tell you what, God would. I'd be on my knees. If disaster hit my family like it's hit some Christian families, I'd be down on my knees crying for God to do something to change it. For God to help some way, somehow. I'm thankful that people can call on God in trouble. And I'm thankful that God is merciful enough that though we ignore Him week after week and year after year, that God will hear even when we're in trouble. Yes, sir, God saves people in foxholes. God saves homes out of the midst of trouble. God saves people on deathbeds. God saves people in hospital rooms. God saves people in financial disaster. God Almighty is a God that hears. He's a God that hears when man's in trouble. And I thank God for it. Look at Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll tell you what, God wants you to call. God's interested in your call. You think I'm reading a bunch? I'm just reading a small, small portion. If I did nothing but read the Scriptures for the next week, I couldn't cover all the Scriptures that are on prayer. all the tremendous promises that are in this book, you take your good concordance and they can start running it out and find out what God says about prayer, intercession, interceding, pleading, asking. Now, I'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find that God's interested in prayer. Why shouldn't you be? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But you know something, my friend? Your only purpose on this earth is to glorify God. You living for any other reason? Then, my friend, you're in trouble. As far as I'm concerned, most of the church is in trouble. By their fruits ye shall know. And I don't know too many people really living just for the glory of God. Most people I know are living for everything else. Oh, what a tragedy. I can understand the world out there living like that. I can understand a man serving Satan out there. I can understand that agnostic living like that. But how in the world can you, a believer, live like that? Huh? You're saved. You're born again. You've got the Spirit of God within you. You've got 70 odd years to live on this life. And then you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. How in the world can you live like that? I can understand the world ignoring God. I can understand the world not wanting to pray. I can understand the world turning up in their nose at church. How can you live like that? Oh, prayer warrior, why not? Why not? Why don't we pray? Why don't we make prayer the very business of our life? Call upon me in the day of trouble. Dear friend, I tell you what, glory to God ought to be your purpose in life. You ought to be on your knees. You know why some of you never pray? Because you don't have the glory of God upon your life. Get God's glory as an interest, God's glory as an involvement, God's glory in the advancement of His kingdom, and that His name might be put around the world. You'd spend some time on your knees. Call upon me. I'll answer. I'll deliver. And then you'll be able to glorify me. Turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Ah, beautiful, blessed passages. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh, you know, we've been talking about people in trouble. Well, that's not necessarily anybody in trouble. Just ask. See. Knock. What do you want? Did you know that God's interested in every desire you've got? Yes, He is. God's interested in what clothes you wear. God's interested in the way you comb your hair. Yes, He is. God's interested in what comes out of your mouth. Some people that even profess to be Christians have such filth coming out of their mouth, it's unreal. God's interested in that. You can't take the name of the Lord in vain and be guiltless, my Bible says. You can't take it back. I can remember the day when curse words came out of my mouth as freely as they flow out of anybody. I guess I wouldn't have felt natural talking if I didn't have some vile thing coming out of my mouth. And yet today, that is one of the most offensive things that comes across me. I see a lot of things that bother me, but I tell you what, that just really offends me to take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or God, and just every other breath, mentioning in vanity and in ignorance. It hinders me. It bothers me. It upsets me. I don't like that. But God's interested in what comes out of your mouth. He said, ask. It shall be given you. You spent much time asking? I have. Is that new car sitting out there? I asked the Lord for it. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, that's wonderful. You know, isn't that something else? I said, yeah, I asked the Lord for it. Who gave that car to you? The Lord Jesus Christ gave it to me. That's who gave it to me. I tell you what, I praise God. God's answered my prayers for 20 years. And God's answered some of your prayers over the years. And I tell you what, God wants to hear what comes out of your mouth. God's interested in what you're seeking. What are you seeking today? What do you seek? You know, chances are if you seek it hard enough, you'll find it.
Yeah, you would. You really want money? You can get it. You really want an education? You can get it. Really want a strong body? Chances are you can build one. You really want to get ahead some way? You seek it. You seek it hard enough. The chances are you'll get it. What are you seeking, though? Oh, my friend, what's your purpose and what's your direction? What are you seeking? You better watch out. You might seek the wrong thing. You might get what you don't really want. I know a lot of people got what they really didn't want. They thought they wanted it, and they went after it, and they looked back 10, 15, 20 years and said, oh, what a tragedy I made out of my life. What a mistake, because I sought the wrong thing. God's interested in what you seek. Knock! Try the opportunity. Ask, seek, and knock. For he says, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And especially when it comes to anything spiritual, anything dealing with God. God's interested. He's interested in the desires and the motives of your heart. And he wants you to come to him and take it as from him. Look at verse 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? Can you give good gifts unto your children? Sure you can. There's not a daddy or a mama here that would really purposely treat that child mean. Or you may rebuke them. You may hold something back from them. You may deny them something that they want, and they may feel like you're mean. But there's not a mama or daddy here sitting here this morning but what loves his children enough that if he had something good, what he's given to them has been good. What he wants them to have is good. Oh, God's better than that. God's better than that. If you and I would but come to God in prayer asking for the good things that he knows we need, he's already promised he'll take care of that. You talk about a beautiful promise of answer to prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 21. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. He just expands it that much further. All things. All things. You need clothes for your kids, pray. You need food for your table, pray. You need an automobile and transportation, pray. You need a job, pray. Too many Christians take the first job that comes their way. Don't have enough conviction to say no. There are Christians working in bars today. That's right. The Christians working in bars today, they shouldn't be there. Don't you understand that? They shouldn't be there. They're going to reap the result in their own family. They're going to reap the result in their own children. I'll guarantee it. What you sow, you're going to reap. There are Christians that don't have enough time to come to God's house. You'll reap it. Oh, I'll guarantee you'll reap it. You ain't going to get away with it. You think you can play around with sin? You can't. You think you don't need to be in the Lord's house when the believers meet? You ought to be there. You say, well, I haven't seen I've lost anything by doing that. Hang on, fellow. Just wait a little while. I guarantee it. You want me to put it in writing? I'll notarize it. I'll put it down in writing, sign my name to it, and notarize it. You ignore God, and you go after this world, and my friend, you pay for it to the most. I'm not the smartest fellow in the world, but I'm not the dumbest by a long shot either. And I've got a lot of experience dealing with people. Riding down the road, Brother Donald, he talked about, you know, some of the problems with certain things, why he didn't want to go this way, because I'm dealing with people. My daddy used to say, people dealing is the toughest dealing you can do. I've been dealing with people most of my life. And I tell you what, people dealing is tough. Sure is. Oh, listen to me, friend. Listen to me. I've got enough experience in dealing with people. I know what pays and what doesn't pay. Serving God always pays. Boy, it doesn't always pay. Here, may cost you here, but it pays. I believe that book, and I've seen the blessings of God upon countless hundreds of people who have prayed, spent their time in prayer, and God did something for them. And I've seen the tragedy of those that didn't pray, that ignored God in one way or another, and oh, the tragedy that's there! It's heartbreaking! I've come into my house and literally cried till 3 o'clock in the morning because I see the tragedy of people that I love. It's because they won't put God first. They will not put God first. Oh, the tragedy if people would only get back to praying. What do you want? What is it you desire? God said, ask me. Ask me. I'll give you everything good. I'll give you all that you need. You just ask me. Whatever you ask in prayer, I'll give it to you. Tremendous promises. In John, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Oh, how fantastic the promises of God. Oh, why we don't cry to Him every day. Why we don't just spend our time in prayer. I don't understand this. I don't understand why the world would be the way they are. I don't understand why the church is the way it is. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. How do you pray? I tell you how I pray. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I pray. I pray to God the Father through the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the merits of what He's done. I think that's scriptural prayer. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you hear that? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, the reason why some of us don't get what we want is we don't want the glory of God. You see that cropping up in there again? We don't really want the glory of God, we want the glory of self. We want the glory of the old man. We want it easy on the old man, not the glory of God. Sometimes our hearts aren't right for prayer. God, in His promises, is promising to answer prayer to His servants. Those that desire to glorify His name. Those who want God honored above everything else. Those who want the will of God done within their lives. God answers prayer. Oh, does He ever answer prayer? Look at chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, He shall ask what you will. That shall be done unto you. Fantastic promises. Man, did you ever see anything quite like those? Look, if you will, at James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lazarus was a son, man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and heaven gave rain. The earth brought forth her fruit. It says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then look at 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. This is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We know that if He hears us, then we have the petitions that we've asked. I want you to understand that I've just given you just a little bitty skimming off the surface of the top of a few promises of God to answer the prayer. Why should you be a prayer warrior? That's a good reason right there. Just what I read this morning, that's a good reason that. Why should you be? What about the possible results? What about the possible results of your prayer? What could happen if you pray? What could happen if you got serious and made prayer your business? What could happen? Oh, my friend, there's no telling what could happen. Have you thought about the results in the Bible? Have you thought about what happened? Kingdoms were changed. The literal world was changed. The rain came down and the rain stopped. Fire fell from heaven. Revival and whole nations brought back to God. The gospel spread completely around the world. Miracles took place and have taken place. What could happen? What are the challenges facing you and I today? Oh, I'll tell you, there's 4, 5, 6 billion people out there facing us. That's a challenge. You know something interesting to do? Join Jesus, man. I'll tell you, get in the fight. Become a soul winner. Try to evangelize the world. Dale Moody said, it's never yet been seen what one man fully surrendered to the will of God could do. I want to be that man. Why don't you try to beat Moody? Huh? Why don't you try to be that man? He said, well, I couldn't be. No, he was just an ignorant shoe salesman that never did speak his English right. 17 years old, got saved and began to start a Sunday school. Nobody wanted him to teach Sunday school. He started his own. It wasn't a short time that young man had the biggest Sunday school in Chicago. What could you do?
Oh, there's no telling what you could do.
What are the possible results? There's no examining what the result of you, what you could do if you began to pray and began to trust God and take Him at His promises, take Him at His word. The challenges are tremendous. There's a world out there lost that God wants to hear the gospel. I guarantee that's in His will. The evangelizing of the world, not the saving of the world, the evangelizing of that world is in the will of God. He wants everybody to hear. I can guarantee that. I can't guarantee everybody's going to get saved, but I'll guarantee you God wants everybody here. What about money for missions? Oh, yes, that's in God's will. What are the possibilities in you today? What could you do? If just the people in this room were harnessed by prayer to the will of God, what would have been the result this year? Huh? And souls saved, and a witness put out, and money put out to missions, and the changes in your own life. If you put but the energy into prayer, and it's surrendering to God's will that you've put into so many other things that you put it into, what could have been the results this year? That beyond imagining. Because, as that scripture said, thou unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, while without end. Oh, I tell you what, He's able. God has the ability to do what you can't even imagine. Oh, how God is willing. How God is willing. What is the possibility for the future, my friend? What is the possibility for you to do this year? This year, if you made prayer your business, what could you do? I'm not too worried about what you did last year. You understand? I'm not too worried about that. But what could you do this year? Maybe you've got a year. I won't guarantee that. Maybe you've got a year. If you got on your knees and begin to be a soldier of God in prayer, what could it be done? What could be the possible result? I tell you, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. If just one person here got right with God and got on fire, just one, if just one of you became so zealously affected in the good things that it just drove you like everything else has driven you all through your life, but that one thing, God, God's glory, God that answers prayer, and a God that will answer prayer in His will. What could be done? Just what? Oh, I tell you what, I don't know. I don't know. I won one little girl about 17 years old to the Lord Jesus Christ in Guatemala, Central America. I'd been in the town that the Lord had led me to for 3 months. Nothing was working too well. You talk about a discouraged missionary. I left full-time evangelism where I was seeing numbers of people saved. Plenty of people wanted to hear me preach. When I was down there, nobody wanted to hear me preach. I turned off a college vocabulary for about a 3-year-old. Who's going to hear you preach, huh? Who's going to let you explain the Bible in the vocabulary of a 3-year-old, huh? You think about it. Discouraged. Defeated. Wife praying for me because she knew I was down and low and discouraged. I knew God had led me there, but I didn't know what to do. Walking up on hills and looking down on volcanoes and crying and praying. And then one day, I led my little old maid to the Lord Jesus Christ. The maid. She didn't have a college degree. She didn't have a high school degree. She wasn't anybody important in the city. Nobody wanted to listen to her. Let me tell you what. That maid's still knocking on doors right now for Jesus. One of the most faithful soul winners I ever got a hold of in my life was a little girl who just came in to wash clothes because I had a sick wife. And she stayed. She's still there.
Up to the last I heard, she's still witnessing for Jesus. Name's Judy Ramirez. I'll give you her address and you can write her.
What if you got on fire this week and you stayed on fire for the rest of your life? What if you got possessed by Jesus Christ? What if you let God get a hold of your heart? What could you do? Just one. This whole congregation got on fire and had a revival burned down in its heart. What could you do? Most of you listening to me are just average, normal Christians. So backslidden, you don't know what it is to pray. Most of you listening to me spend no more time on your, don't spend as much time on your knee as you spend drinking soda water in an average week. Most of you spend your time drinking coffee. If you spent just the time you spent drinking coffee on your knees in fervent prayer to God, revival would break. Most of you are so stingy and selfish with your money, you spend every dime on yourself. You haven't supported a servant of God in years. You think if you drop $5 to collection plate, you've made the whole place rich. What a tragedy. What could you do? What is the possibility inside this room this morning? It staggers my mind. I don't know what you could do. But somewhere in service, somewhere, sometime, 12 people gathered on a stormy night. They heard a Methodist deacon give a 12-minute talk on "Look unto me and be ye saved from the end of the day." And probably the greatest speaker, preacher in the English language was saved that night. He's walking down the road and the storm was there. And he drops in on at the back as a young boy. 15, 16 years old. And he hears a Methodist deacon with 12 people listening to him. Take a short sermon, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And one little boy, one young man got saved. Name was Charles Hatton Spurgeon. I've got 44 volumes of his sermons on my desk. They were published more than any other thing in his day. They literally went around the world, and preachers who had no education read his sermons to their congregation because they didn't know how to build them like he did, and simply read them. And people would get saved. He's been dead for years, but he's still preaching. William Carey, sometime, someplace, heard a gospel message. Seemed pretty insignificant to you. You don't understand what William Carey did for me. One man in a congregation on a given church in one day got right with God. Gave his life to God, and the world's been changed because of it ever since. What could you do? You say, "I'm 50 years old. What can God do with me?" I know of a woman that surrendered to the mission field at 59. 59. She started over 12 churches before she died. 12 churches before she died. A woman, 59-year-old woman. What's she going to do? I took a good bit of flack because a 32-year-old with her took off to the mission field. But I believe God Almighty was in it. I still do.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. I don't know what God can do for you. But I know He can do more than you have ever come. I know that it's never touched your mind what God could do if you'd but surrender to Him this day. I know that if you'd begin to pray, that you wouldn't end up just a prayer warrior. Nobody does. The greatest prayer warriors in the world have been men who've literally gone around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the fervency of their heart, doing their best to get people to come to Jesus, and the power of God has fallen upon their lives. I don't know the possibilities within this Sunday morning crowd this morning, but they're beyond my wildest imagination. Some of you, bless your heart, are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And there you're going to see what you could have been. What God wanted to give. the prayers God would have answered that you never prayed. The things God wanted to do through you that you never let Him do. The way God wanted to bless you, but you wouldn't let Him bless you. Oh, I tell you, dear friend. Prayer warrior? Are you? Why not? I'll tell you why not. Because it calls to pray. You know why you're not a prayer warrior? Because first of all, you don't have an interest in spiritual things. Are you hearing me? When things get really interesting to me, then I can pray about. When that boy is laying fly and dumb and crippled on a bed in a hospital, you think I didn't? God had my interest. When that boy back there lost about half of his vision, you think I didn't pray? God had my interest. And I'll tell you what, if God got your interest today, you'd pray. The reason why you're not praying is you're not interested in prayer. You're not interested in what God can do. You're not interested in the things that are going on, the things of the Lord. So you pray. Prayer costs some interest in things. You've got to be interested in somebody to pray for. When I surrendered to the mission, when I surrendered to preach the gospel, first of all, my daddy was a very good man. My mother was a very good woman. But at the time, my later years, as I was growing up, and as I before I got saved, they weren't all that strong in the church. They weren't all that involved. But their son surrendered to preach. And I tell you what, that got the interest of my daddy, my mother. I'm sure they prayed many prayers where it was one of those things. They were fine Christians. Oh, I tell you what. When I surrendered to the mission field down off in Guatemala, you think there weren't prayers prayed for that son? They got interested in missions. Because their son was a missionary. Makes all the difference in the world. I guarantee it makes a difference. Miss Bell, as I'm getting ready to take her daughter off to Guatemala, she hangs on and says, "Take care of my girl. Take care of my girl." What happened? Got an interest. Along to her. You know why you're not a prayer warrior? I tell you why. You're not interested in God's work. Now that's the truth, isn't it? You know it's true. You know why you don't really care whether you come on Sunday night or Wednesday night? You're not interested in what God does. You're just not interested. If the preacher gets up and bombs, and we do, as much as anybody, and so I ain't going back. And one else says, "I would not get entertained." You're just not in. If you're in, you'd be praying for the preacher. You want to know one reason why, Brother Taylor, I don't have more power than I do? One reason why you're not interested in whether we have power. You ever think of that? You know something? The only way you're ever going to revive a church through this pulpit? So you've got to reach the preacher, come on. You've got to reach the preacher. And if you can't pray him through to God, you better get rid of him. One way or another. It costs interest to pray. You know why you're not a prayer warrior? Because you're not involved. You're not involved. If I were to talk to you about your business, boy, you'd tell me about how you're involved. You'd tell me how much your costs are and how much your margin of profit is. You'd tell me how much you're losing or how much you're gaining. You're involved. You know all about it. My brother-in-law, Johnny, is now studying air conditioning. Johnny's a handyman. I mean, he can fix anything. Whatever it is, Johnny can do it. And he's willing to do it. He's a very helpful person. You get him over and start talking to him, and before long, boy, the interest goes to air conditioning. He'd tell you all about this and how this circuit does this, and the highs and the lows. You know why he tells you about that all the time? He's involved. You know why you don't talk about the Lord? You know why you don't spend any time in prayer? You're not involved. Maybe you don't want to get involved, huh? Well, tell you what, it takes time. You don't have the time, do you? You're doing too many more important things. Isn't that right?
Isn't that the reason why that you're not doing the work of God that you could be doing? Is that you've got so many more important things to do? Aren't there a lot of things a lot more important than God?
Yeah, I thought so. Oh, but my friend, you're going to wake up. Everybody in this room today, and that 5 or 6 billion people out there in that world today, is going to wake up within 15 years. You know what they're going to find out? That the most important business ever in all the history of the world was God's business.
And that the best time they ever spent in all of their lives was the time they spent with interest and involvement in God's business. And the most fruitful and profitable minutes that they ever put in were on their knees before God, involved in His business to glorify Him. Why aren't you a prayer warrior? Because it costs time. And I'll tell you something. It may cost a whole lot more. You can read the biographies of some of the men in some of the books back there, and they got involved in prayer, and before long they were involved in the whole life. You see, if you start praying, it may cost you more than you think. You begin to really pray for the missionaries, it might cost you that new car. It might cost you that hunting lease. It might cost that new soil machine. It might cost you an awful lot of things. I tell you what, it might cost your son or daughter. It might even cost you your home, your life, and house. Instead of what it might cost. You see, it costs to get involved with God. Let me ask you something, my friend. Have you really counted the cost of praying? It's expensive. I promise you, prayer may cost you everything you've got. But let me turn that around. Ask you one more question before I preach. Have you counted the cost of not praying? The most expensive thing I can think that you as a born-again believer to do is to not pray. To not get involved in God's work. To not put your interest and your time and your effort into God's work. You can't be just a prayer warrior. But if you ever become so, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is going to be one of his most important men. He said, men are always to pray. Men are always to pray. To whom? To him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask.